Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
I'm really excited this morning. It's going to be an amazing morning. I said we're going to have a guest speaker. We're not. Because Diane is not a guest. This is her house. Amen? She's not a guest. This is her house. This is just another minister at our church who's going to minister the Word of God today. So if Evangelist Diane St. Sever would come on up. If you would give her honor, please. Honor her, please. Stretch your hand if you would. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that your anointing will come upon her today. That anointing that you have for preachers, that you supercharge the words that come out of their mouth and the revelation that comes from heaven, Father. That you would be with her today in power and in glory. That you would glorify the name of Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give it up for Evangelist Diane St. Sever.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor. You're so awesome. It's such an honor to be able to speak to you guys this morning. It's such an honor that my spiritual father gives me an opportunity to work out the gift, but I'm just so excited. I'm so excited for what God has this morning. I'm so excited because I'm part of a church that believes that Jesus Christ is alive, and we could come to church on a Sunday morning and expect God to come and do amazing things in our heart. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that your word is not just a history book. I thank you that your word is not just a word that we just read just to memorize. I thank you that your word brings life. I thank you that you have a Holy Ghost here with us that the word can penetrate our heart, change our minds, and change our circumstances. Father, I thank you that 40 minutes with you could do much more than 40 years with you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, that you're such a good God. In your name, amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is The God of Impossibilities. The God of Impossibilities. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Whoa. It says, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Let me encourage you a little bit. There's a river that flows through this house. There's a river that flows through this house. You could look at me and say, you know what? I'm just going to listen to her speak. Or you could actually trust that God has something for you this morning. That there's a river that flows through this house. And that there's angels here ready to minister to you. Amen? That the God of the impossibles, the God that could do anything far greater. I mean, he puts it in his word and it says that what's impossible for me, what's impossible for you is very possible for him. Amen. So there's a river. Wow, Jesus, there's a river that's flowing through this house right now. So I'm just preparing you to receive this morning. I'm preparing you to open your heart. Hey, I'm very excited. I'm preparing you to open your mind to receive what God has for you because God wants to encourage you. I'm not a motivational speaker. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is here ready to do things that I couldn't do for you. The Holy Ghost is here to take things, burdens that I couldn't take off for you, right? I don't know what your circumstance is this morning. I don't know where you're at with God this morning, but God knows. He knows exactly where you're at this morning. He knows exactly what you're praying for. And he said that there's nothing that you could think of this morning that's impossible for God. So I want you to think of that impossible thing this morning. That thing that you, like, there's no way I can make this happen on my own. And I'm going to tell you what God's going to do because he's a God that could do what? The possibles. Amen? So, wow. I heard this testimony and it really, really touched me. And I want to share it with you guys because God is a God of details. God is a God that cares about the details of our lives, right? He cares about the things that make our heart cry. He cares about the things that make us laugh. He cares about the things that bring us joy. And he truly, truly cares about it. He calls you an individual. He knows your name. He knows your name. He calls you an individual, right? So God, wow, God who's here this morning is about to set some things on fire. So this testimony I heard was a preacher. She was preaching, and she was traveling, and you know, sometimes when preachers travel, they don't see their family as often. And she asked God, she's like, Jesus, I just want to get back home on time to see my kids and bring them to school. She was flying in on a Sunday, and she wanted to get in by Monday morning to take her kids to school. And so she was telling God, I just please make that happen. I've been traveling all week. I just want to get home. And so she gets to the airport, and of course, missed her flight. So she missed her flight, and she's running up, and she gets up to the desk, and she's like, the plane's right there. I know the doors are closed, but I need to get on this plane. And the lady at the desk was like, we can't. Once the door is closed, the door is closed. Unless you're the president of the United States, the door is not opening. You're just going to have to wait for the next flight. And so she checked. If she waited for the next flight, there's no way she was going to get back home on time to take her kids to school. And so you might think this morning is kind of silly to pray about getting back home, unless it's your child that you want to take to school, right? So God cares about the details. So she's praying, and the one lady said, no, you can't. So when you really, really want something, you'll go around the no, right? So she goes to the next lady and says, can you please get me on this plane? I don't know if the two ladies were beefing, but the other lady was like, yeah, let me try and get you on this plane. And so she tries to get on this. The lady calls up the pilot and says, you know, we have this person. She needs to get on this flight. And so whatever happened, the stairs came down, and they got her on this flight. So she says she's walking down the aisle feeling like a celebrity because everybody's looking at her like, how did this woman get on this plane? So they're trying to figure out who she was, taking pictures, and she's feeling like, Jesus, favor is not fair, right? So she sits down, and she's so excited. She's like, I'm coming home to my kids. And then all of a sudden, the pilot gets on and says, you know what? We have about, I think it was about 14 to 20 planes in front of us. We cannot leave on time because we have to wait for them to go, and the skies are not clear. And so she's like, not only did I just get on this plane, the plane is still not leaving on time. So she's freaking out. So her high just went low, right? How many times are we in a situation where we feel like God just opened the door for us? We feel like our breakthrough is right there, and it just falls through. And what we thought was going to happen doesn't happen. You're like on this really high, like God is good. Like you're walking around like nobody could touch me. I'm God's favorite. And then you go to, oh my gosh, what did I do to mess this up, right? So she's on this plane, and she's sitting, and she's like, oh, this is not really happening. And so all of a sudden, she's praying, and she's like, God, if you brought me this far, you'll take me all the way. If you brought me this far, you'll take me all the way. And that really encouraged me, because how many of us right now, we're in a place, and we're like, sometimes we're like, man, God, you got me through a lot. If we reflect, and if you brought me this far, you could only, what, bring me further, right? So she's praying, and then the pilot comes again, and she's like, yeah, thank you for the more, you know, expecting. Sometimes when things happen, we expect God to give us, we expect more bad things to happen. No, the pilot came on and said, you know what? I don't know what's happening. Fasten your seatbelts. We're leaving. We're going in front of everybody. Let's go. And at that point, I hear her telling this testimony. At that point, she's preaching and she's saying, you know what? No matter, I don't care if it's 14 planes, 25 planes, 30 planes. I don't care if the plane is closed. If God says, I'm going to do something, if God cares about the details of my life, nothing is impossible for my God. Nothing is impossible for my God. That really, really encouraged me. Why? Because we walk through life daily. Daily, thinking about the things that God has called us to do. I'm going to talk about a little bit about the story of Sarah and Abraham, right? We walk daily thinking, God, you make promises, just like he made promises to Abraham. Said, you're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to be a father of many nations. And we look at these promises and say, God, these promises are huge. What do you mean I'm going to be a father of many nations? What do you mean I'm going to be this worship leader that leads thousands to you? What do you mean I'm going to be that person that mothers so many spiritual sons and daughters? What does that mean? God makes promises. He's made it 2,000 years ago. He's still making it. He's still making these promises that sound bizarre to us. He's still making them. So we're going to go to Genesis 15:5, where he speaks to Abraham. He says, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. All right. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to count them, and he said to them, so shall your descendants. God makes promises with Abram, right? God makes promises in the sense of, like I just said, he makes promises that sound bizarre. So I want you to search this morning. What are these promises that sound bizarre to you? Because this is what you're going to bring to the altar this morning. These are the promises that you're going to give to Jesus this morning. The promises that sounds, he didn't say just, you know what, count your fingers. He said, look to the stars. Have you ever tried looking to the stars and counting them? It's a little crazy, right? So he said, look to the stars. God makes promises. I'm going to go on to supernatural promises take more than natural resolutions. Supernatural promises take more than natural resolutions. I'm going to read Genesis 16, 1 through 5, and then I'm just going to soak you guys in some, it's just going to be so encouraging. Amen. Genesis chapter 16, 1 through 5. Ready? Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. What really, really fired me up about this was Sarah couldn't have kids, right? And her husband was promised to be a father of many nations, right? And so Sarah went on, and she didn't believe the promise was for her. She believed the promise was for her husband. There's a lot of us sitting here this morning. God is speaking promises, and we believe it's for the person next to us. We believe it's just for pastor. We believe it's just for the person that has the mic. We believe it's for the person that has an inheritance that we don't have. No, if God speaks a promise to you, it's for you. If he speaks a promise, it's for you. And so she didn't believe. And when she didn't believe, what did she do? She tried to make it happen on her own. We're going to sit here a little bit. God tells us things. Every single one of you, and this is not cliche, every single one of you has a purpose and a destiny. Has a purpose and a destiny. And sometimes we minimize those purpose and destinies to the place where we feel like we can make it happen. Because if we dream too big, we're afraid that we'll get disappointed. But God's not asking you to dream your dreams. God is asking you to dream his dreams, because if it's his dreams, he's responsible to make them come to pass, right? So when we go out and we say, you know what, I do believe this is for this person, but not for me, what are we saying to God? We're saying to God, we're not important, and we think that's okay. But for you guys, whether you have kids or not, how would you feel if your child thinks they're not important being your child? That they don't deserve what you have for them. God is saying this morning, there's nothing that he's told you to do. There's nothing that he wants to give you that you're going to have to strive and think that you could do it on your own. He wants to be involved in everything that we do. It almost sounds silly to think that God will tell you something just to watch you fail at it with no return. Are we going to fail? Yes. Are we going to mess up? Yes. But that's all to grow us. That's all to get us there. God is not sitting in heaven just sitting there and saying, you know what? I'm laughing at our mistakes. Not at all. Sarah did make a mistake. She tried to go do it on her own. She did try to go do it on her own. And some of us are like, you know what? That's so extreme. I would never tell my husband to go have a child with a maid. But if we look at how we try to do things on our own, it looks just as crazy. When you feel like you're called to something and you can't stay in one church and you're church hopping, that looks very crazy. Thinking that God's going to bring you, that if you can't be faithful to one thing, he's going to trust you to be faithful with many. That looks psycho, right? If he can't trust you with $5, thinking that he's going to give you $500,000, that looks nuts. God wants us to be in a place where we excel, where we grow in magnitudes that we can't even understand. I guarantee you, all the people that you look up to doing the God thing today had the same word that you had. Just run. Just go for it. Stay faithful. Live in a community. Trust a spiritual mother and father. It doesn't change. The people that are doing the very thing that you want to do, it's the same formula, all in the Word. Same thing. It doesn't change. The stories and the testimonies that you hear that somebody only had 2 weeks to live, but my God, they've been living for 20 years. That doesn't change. That's the same God. The same God. The same God right now that's raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, blind eyes can see. All that's the same God that's here this morning. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but I am telling you that the God that's here this morning wants you to be encouraged wherever you're at. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 40 years or 4 days, or you don't even know Jesus at all, but the God that saved me, the God that saved you, the God that's here this morning wants to bring you to a different place of believing that he's God, for believing that he's a purposeful God. He's a God that does things on purpose. He's a God that brings the impossibilities to be possible. He's a God that wants to show you off. He's a God that wants to give you crazy favor that doesn't even make sense. He's a God that wants you to dream and hope about things that don't, that people would even laugh at if they heard. But for him, it's really just that normal. The God that thought, right, to give us a son so we don't have to walk around with flashlights, that's the same God. That's the same God that wants to do the crazy in your life. Is anybody in here getting encouraged? That's the same God that wants to do that with you. You know what's really cool about being Christian? You know what's really cool about knowing who God is? That no matter what my circumstances, no matter what my shortcomings are, God is still big. No matter what family member is sick, no matter what my wallet looks like, I still have a God that has far greater. I have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. If you call Jesus Lord, you have nothing to worry about. Amen? So I said supernatural promises take more than natural resolutions. God said he was going to bring them a child, right? If God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So sometimes we try to take the supernatural things and do natural things to make it come to pass. If it's supernatural, what do you think your measly hands are going to do to make it come to pass? What do you think you could possibly do to make it come to pass? Right? If God said, you're going to have an orphanage and you're going to feed thousands. I'm just using just something. You're going to feed thousands. How do you think you're going to make that come to pass? You're going to try very hard. You're going to try very hard to make that come to pass. And I think sometimes we waste a lot of time trying to strive and make things come to pass that God wants to do himself. We focus on the very thing. We focus on how to make it come to pass when God's like, I just need you to focus on your character. I just need you to focus on how to work hard. That thing that you're trying to run to, I could just give it to you tomorrow. You don't need to work for that. The people, I'll bring them. Just figure out how to preach. The favor, I'll bring it. Just figure out the logistics to it, right? Yeah. So I just want to kind of just challenge mindsets today, yeah, in the sense of we're not on levels God is working on. And you don't want to waste your whole life trying to work on the level God is working on, because you'll never succeed. Just admit to the Lord and say, God, I trust you. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to sit around. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to lose sleep over this, but I'm going to trust you that if I wake up every morning and go to work, you're there. If I wake up every morning and tell somebody you love them, you're there. If I come to church every Friday night and set up, you're there. And I know all those things are working for my good. And when I need to get somewhere, you'll take me. Amen. I'm going to read one last passage of scripture, and I'm going to bring it home. Wow. Jesus, there's a river. There's a river. There's a river that flows that allows you to be everything that you're called to be. There's a river that if you jump in that river, your identity's there. The fears that keep you from being all that you could be, there's a river ready to take all that out. There's a river that excites you about the God call in your life. There's a river. There's a river that could do things for you that you could never do for yourself. God loves you this morning, and we know this. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he says, I don't want you to waste your life doing nothing. But if you waste your life on me, I'll give you everything. If you lose yourself, I'll give you everything you need. If you die to self, you'll find yourself. There's a God here this morning that just wants us to lay our hearts at the altar and not be scared. Wants us to lay our offenses. Wants us to lay our pre-agendas. Wants us to lay what we feel, what we think about our brothers and sisters that don't align with his words. Just wants to lay at his feet. And he wants to replace that. And whatever God's going to replace is far greater than what you're walking with, I promise. Whatever God's going to give you is far greater than what you have right now. And I'm very excited about that. But only you can make that decision for you. All right, we're going to go to Genesis 18, 9 through 17. We're going to talk a little bit about Sarah. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there, in the tent. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. So God's speaking promises, right? God speaking promises. Sometimes when God comes, when God visits, or when he sends someone to visit, right, to speak a promise, you may not be there. Sarah was in there. She was listening, but they didn't see Sarah, right? How many of us is God speaking promises to the person next to you for you, to your pastor for you, to people that you live life with, that they believe things that you don't believe for yourself? They see things that you don't see for yourself. God's not afraid. If you won't listen, he'll tell the person next to you, because his purposes mean a lot. He believes in you more than you'll ever believe, right? So if you're not listening, he's telling her. And that's why living in community is so important, because the person next to you may have the very word that you need for the next season, right? Maybe if the person that God calls your spiritual parents, maybe they might know a little bit more than you, right? Maybe people could see more than you could see for yourself. Who looks at you more? What belongs to you that other people see more? Your face, right? People see you more than you could see yourself. And sometimes we try so hard to be so secluded, digging in ourselves, looking, what can I do, Lord? What can I, when he's saying, live with people and they'll let you know. Be honest with people, they'll let you know. Make friends, they'll let you know. You don't have to do this by yourself. You don't have to do this by yourself. God's here, you don't have to do it by yourself. We're the church. He calls us the church for a reason. We bring people to church for a reason. We could get them saved out there, but why is it important for them to come to the church? This is where we grow. This is where we find things out. This is where when we read the word on our own, we come and it makes sense. Right? We're the church. So Sarah laughed. She heard the promise and laughed, as if God didn't know she was old. She laughed. God's speaking things to you. And some of us are laughing. Like, yeah, right. Some of us are just, yeah, right, God. We're not saying it because we're too spiritual, but yeah, we're saying it with our actions. Right? We're saying it with our faithfulness. Because if you truly believed God, serving wouldn't be an issue. If you truly believe God, working hard in the kingdom for no pay wouldn't be an issue. Right? So she laughed. Laughter, a sign of disbelief. So I believe everything that God puts in the word is for us. So if he could use Sarah as an example of disbelief, we want to change that disbelief this morning. Whatever, any ounce of disbelief, whatever God is speaking to you that you just laughing at this morning, I want to change your laughter to belief this morning. That's what God wants to do. Change our laughter to belief. Change our laughter to true joy. Like, I'm going to do that because God said I'm going to do it. Right? So she laughed. And then God said, why is she laughing? God asked a question that he already knew. The Lord asked a question he already knew. Why does God ask us questions we already know? For many reasons. But I'm just going to use this reason. Sometimes God will ask you a question that you already know so you could uncover the disbelief in your life. Sometimes God will ask you a question that he already knows so you can uncover the disbelief in your life. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing, Diane? Why is that so funny? I wasn't laughing. No, you were laughing. What do you mean, God? I totally believe you. I totally believe you're... No, you don't. No, I do. How many of us this morning? I want to be the person when I hear a promise of God, yes, Lord, how are we going to do this? Not the person that's going to laugh. I want to be the person that says, where do I start? Sign me up. What do I do next? And this is who we are. This is who we are. This is who we are in a house or jump in the river. Lord, where do I start? What do I do? Where do I stay? Just let me know. I'm down. We're not laughing. That's not who we are. That's not your identity. You're not laughing at the promises of God. Wow. So we find later, let me close this story up a little bit. We find later that Sarah did have a son, Isaac. Sarah did have a son, Isaac. Genesis 21 says that. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. The promise was fulfilled. Despite your mistakes, despite your shortcomings, despite your disbelief, nothing is impossible for your God. 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 At his appointed time, whatever he spoke to you, at his appointed time, whatever he spoke to you, whatever he's called you to be, whatever he's called you to do will come to pass. And all he says is believe and trust me. And when I say go left, you go left. When I say go right, you go right. When I tell you to walk, you walk. Whatever God has called you to do, there's nothing that could stop that if you believe him. Nothing. Nothing that could stop that. At his appointed time, the promise came to fruition, right? At his appointed time. God is not looking for superstars. He's not looking for people that think they could do it on their own. It doesn't impress God. Hey, God, I'm doing all this by myself. Look at me, I'm so cool. No, he wants to do it with us. He wants us to hear the detailed words. He wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to spend time in community. He wants you to walk this thing out with him. Not too long ago, Pastor preached and he said, we got to just enjoy the journey. Sometimes we're sprinting to the destination. We forget that God's all up in the journey. From the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, he's there. So many of us sometimes have our hands up, protecting ourselves from what? God said, I've come to set you free. So be free. There's a protection that sometimes you don't even see. You don't know how you got here this morning. You think you were just all out of harm. You don't know that. There's a promise. I don't know a lot, but I know this. There's a promise. God has a promise for you. There's impossibles in your life. There's things that you can't make come to pass by yourself. And God's telling you this morning, if you believe me, I'm going to do things you never thought I could do. If you believe me this morning, I'll take you places you never thought you could go. Because the God of impossibles is here. And he wants to make it very possible. It's impossible to take a sinner who's born into sin and call them righteous. And because they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, they can have eternal life. That's impossible. But God made it very possible. He made it so possible that he calls you to tell other people and to make it possible for them. So you have already experienced God making the impossible possible. So whatever it is this morning, be excited because God's here and he wants to make it very possible. So if I could call Mikey up. Shadaba, kiredebeke, the river. How's everyone feeling? Good? Encouraged? Good, good. Amen. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost. Father, I just ask this morning. I just ask this morning. There's things that only you could do. Father, I declare that those in the room today that haven't experienced the peace of God would experience the peace of God right now. Father, I declare the things that keep people up at night, the things that trouble us, Father, that is not too big for you. I just declare that you would take care of that. This may be for a lot of people, but I see one specific person. Father, I just declare right now that person that just doesn't, wow, that they just don't get why no matter how much money they make, they just can't seem to sustain it. They just can't seem to pay their bills. They just can't seem to get ahead. I just know, Father, that you're a God of the impossible, and you could change anything. You could break anything. You could break any cycle in just a snap of a finger. I declare freedom in people's finances this morning. Father, I declare that person that's scared. That's scared of any medical condition, Father. That you're such a great healer this morning. I declare that they would grab that healing from you this morning. That they would believe that you're God that heals. Father, I declare the peace that comes when people's children are in your hand, Father. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Like I said before, there's nothing that I could say and do that's going to change your life. But there's things that God is going to do that's going to change your life forever. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning so we could pray with you. If you're saying, God, there's just some really impossible things in my life that only you could take care of today. There's just some things that just make no sense to me. And I'm tired of striving. I'm tired of trying to make things come to pass on my own. I want to pray with you. If you're saying, God, I'm not that person that I know I can be. I don't even believe it. But I know you're a God of the impossible. I just want to encourage you to come up. We'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. Shadaba, kiderebe, kiderababa. Karaba, kiriribi, kiraraba. Jesus. One last thing. Jesus. I'm about to pray, but I think there's wow. Father, I pray for these this morning, Lord. This is going to be a good day. Father, I just declare right now, everyone who's up front, look at me. Whether you don't know Jesus this morning, he's here. Or you do know Jesus very well, he's here. Or you're scared, he's here. Or you're very, very excited, he's here. You ready to trust me for a second? God's going to meet you where you're at. Just believe him. He's going to meet you where you're at. He's a God that meets every need. I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to ask you to believe that Jesus is alive and he's here with you. And he's ready to transform anything that you give him this morning. So if there's anybody that's still sitting down, I just want to encourage you to stand up and pray because God's here. And he's going to do it for all of us, amen? So we're going to do one thing and we're going to get it out of the way. For those of us that don't know Jesus, we're going to pray. Amen? And then we're going to pray that the God who does impossible things is going to come and he's going to give dreams. He's going to give visions. He's going to get you excited about what he has for you. Amen. So repeat after me. Let's meet Jesus. Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross for me. Father, I ask that you would forgive me for the things that I did wrong. I knew they were wrong. I ask today that you would come into my life, into my heart. And today, I make you Lord of my life. Amen. Father, I pray right now for every single person at this altar. I pray that they would get vision right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that your ministering angels would give visions. God, that you would give visions. Holy Ghost, visions, 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 visions. Father, I declare that their depression would turn into joy right now. Father, I pray that they would see the hand that takes all burdens right now in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would draw out the God dreams in them right now. that you would draw out the God dreams right now, that you would awaken the calls that you've spoken over their life, Father, that you would bring to life the call of God in their life. Father, I pray that you would give them vision that only you can make come to pass. Can I have my life group leaders, the life group leaders of this house, come pray for some people up front? We're going to stay up here for a little bit. We're going to sing one last song. So if you're here, I just want to encourage you to just get some. Just get some for the week. Amen?
I want to thank you all for coming. If you're up here and you want to receive prayer, someone will pray for you. You can stay at the front. If you're in the back and you still want prayer, you can come forward. We're going to be at the Next Steps table if anybody wants to connect with someone. And we'll be there to kind of tell you what your next step in Christ might be. Worship team's going to lead us in a song here. And thank you. We'll be here next week. Give it up for Diane St. Sever, everybody, if you would, please. Honor her if you would. Hallelujah. If you're at the front and you still want prayer, someone will pray for you. Again, if you want prayer in the back, you can come to the front. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
All my fear is broken now. Where
Father, we thank you for what you're going to do this week. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people. Amen.